The question is, when we cry for shuhadas of Karbala, can we wipe our tears with tissues or handkerchiefs? Some say these tears are precious. The tears that come out, tears that come out of your heart when you're not able to control your emotions of sadness. Now, all the 6 billion people that are on the face of this earth, if they were present in Karbala and they saw what happened in Karbala, all the 6 billion people will cry. I can guarantee that to you, that if they were present in Karbala and this event happened in front of their eyes, every single person would cry, would shed a tear. If that happens to be a Hindu, a Christian, a Jew, a Sikh, an atheist, an agnostic, whatever this person is, no matter how of a hardened heart this person has, if they were to see what happened in Karbala, they would cry. Now, are we going to say that all of the tears that will come out of the 6 billion people who will see what happened in Karbala are precious? Would they be precious? The tears that come out of a Hindu, are they precious?
Could be.
If the love that this person has is on the level of a human being, they're only precious to that extent. Yani, the way that the preciousness of these tears is going to become elevated is by what is inside of you. How much do you have ma'rifah of the Imam? How much ma'rifah do you have of Allah? How much ma'rifah do you have of the Prophet? What is the level of your taqwa? How close you are to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What is that you've learned from Karbala? What do you know about the purpose of Imam Hussain's sacrifice? The preciousness would be symbolic to what is inside of you. Now, the tears are just water coming out of your eyes, if you look at scientifically. Now, if you wipe this water from tissue paper or you wipe it with a handkerchief, the purpose is to wipe this water that's coming out. That's why you use handkerchief. You will go outside, tears will come out of your eyes because of minus 25 and they will get frozen probably. Now, if they get frozen, you're probably going to wipe it off with a handkerchief. You see, taqaddus, you understand? Taqaddus, yani being something, when this something is glorified, or this something is high or great, or it is of respect, it depends of what you know of that thing. There was a person crossing the border. The immigration officer stopped him, said, found out some CDs. The CDs were of Quran. The person said to the person, "What is this?" He said, "This is our holy book." He said, "This is your holy book, and you respect this book?" "I do." He puts this CD in the CD player. It starts playing. Quran is being recited. He says, "What does it say?" The person couldn't answer. He said, "How do you know that this is holy? You say this is your holy book, you don't even know what it says?" Taqaddus of something is with what it is nisbah of and how you feel and what you know. That's, yani, there is alam there. There was a cloth that was bought. At that time the cloth had no value. But the cloth was bought and put as the alam of Hazrat Abbas because it has a nisbah to wafa. Nisbah, you understand? It is a symbol of loyalty. Because it is a symbol of loyalty, it becomes muqaddas. it becomes respectable. Now, because it becomes respectable, we will touch it and kiss it. But if we do not understand what loyalty is, if we are told to be here at 7:30 and we come at 9 o'clock, if we promise and we break our promises, if we say to others that these are amana, this is a trust to you, and you destroy it. You have friends who need you as a loyal friend, but you are not loyal to them. You as a community need each other to be loyal to each other, but we are not loyal to each other. Then what have we understood about loyalty? What have we understood then? What should we reply to people who make fun about our beards, rings and clothes, hijab, etc.? You know, a beard is a natural thing that grows. There are many Christians, Hindus, Jews, Sikhs, especially. Like, there's all type of... Any man who grows up to be 14, 15 starts getting a beard. Now the person would shave because of the culture that they live in. Like here, they say that you shave, that's how you look neat and clean. If you have a beard, you don't look neat and clean. But there's a culture, for example, Sikhs, they don't shave. And if you're a man, you're supposed to have a beard. Professors, they will keep a beard. It's easy, you don't have to get up in the morning to shave. They look very honorable, presentable, respectable, noble. They look intelligent. They look mature. Yeah? They look mature. Like, you have few white hair, people respect you more. When you have no white hair, trust me, I know this. When you don't have that many white hair, people don't respect you. You have more white hair, people respect you. They look honorable. Now, Islam tells us that you forget about whichever culture you're going to live in. I tell you a law. And you have to abide by that law. And that law is that a man who grows up to be 14, 15, as soon as the beard starts, you keep it. Because when you keep this, what will happen is that you will become more, more and more and more mature. When you look in the mirror and you see this, this will help you to pray salah. It will tell you that you have done this for the sake of Allah, you are in His obedience, pray your salah. I told you I worked, I got fired on September 3rd, but I used to get work. At Rogers. You probably know Rogers. Rogers, yeah. So I used to work for them. When you come in and out at Rogers, there's security. Like you need a security guard, you just can't get in. And there's a security guard who's always on duty. And whenever I would come through that door and that security guard was there, he would always say, Salaam alaikum. And I thought, maybe he knows me as a Maulana, you know, because people do sometimes kiss my hand in the middle of a mall. That's happened. Which you become very embarrassed because someone is leaning down on one knee and then kissing your hand while there's hundreds of people that are looking. That's a separate story, right? This person would always say salam and I would say wa alaikum as-salam. One day I stopped. I said, do you know me? I said, no, I don't know you. You look like a Muslim. I am a Muslim. I saw you. I said, Salaam alaikum. He did not have a beard. I said to him, how come? Well, I didn't say, how come you don't look like a Muslim, but I said, how come you don't? He said, look, if I was to have a beard, I have to keep its respect. And I feel as if I'm not able to keep its respect. I said, maybe you will be 60, 70 and still you will not be able to keep its respect. That doesn't mean that you don't have it. After I saw him after 1 or 2 weeks, when I came in, he had a mashallah full beard. If someone makes fun of you because you are obeying the law of Allah, you do not have to apologize. You do not have to apologize. You are submitting to the will of your Creator. Who cares if someone's happy or sad? Would you like for people to be happy with you, or would you like Allah to be happy with you? Allah, who cares about who is not happy in His creation? Because if those who are unhappy with you, but Allah is happy with you, they are not the creations who are submitting to His will. Because if they were submitting to His will, they will also be happy with you. Why do we say that Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam's love is the distinguishing factor between a mu'min and not a mu'min? A mu'min, not our definition of a mu'min. Our definition of a mu'min is very skewed. Sorry, we're going hijab as well and everything else.